welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 112. Oh, morning after the night before, partied on a little bit too much last night, but what a night. Ah, loved it. Right, hello, 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 Jonathan. Good morning, Kim. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. We had a blast. Enjoy whatever it is you're cooking. We look forward to hearing about it later. Hello, Debbie. Glad you enjoyed Brooklyn's highlight of your day. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Oh, we had a ball. Absolute blast. I had no idea there were so many songs with an American theme. And I've actually been hard at work today. Yes, I know, you're shocked, aren't you? Yes, so was I. I have. It's really unusual, actually. It still feels 3 months in. Really unusual on a Sunday to amble out of bed at whatever time I feel like, which is usually later than it would be, not be heading to Mass, and basically have the entire day to ourselves. So I've actually been getting organised. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. Mass did happen this morning, I believe. I've no idea who went and who didn't, but we didn't. We did get contacted over something that's a bit concerning in that regard, but never mind. We'll sort that out down the line. But yeah, Sunday's become a day where I can actually calmly think straight and organise things. So one of the things I was organising was next week's musical show. We do two shows on a Saturday. One is a pre-record, and that goes out at 7 o'clock on Brooklands, because obviously we're marooned with you, so I can't do it live. So we do it as a pre-record, and it was basically give us a topic, and that's what we'll do it on. And we've done two James Bond specials. We've done Music of the Musicals. Our guys absolutely love musicals, so we've done quite a few of those. And I've still got about 6 weeks worth of songs for musicals. So I've sat down to look at them, sorting those out. And then I actually had more time. This is just barking mad. I actually had more time. So I started looking at the transportation theme for next week. Wow, there's some classics. Just don't ask about the nursery rhyme one. That was one of my favourites. So yeah, we've actually had a ball playing around with the music. Really, really loving it. What time did you stay on until last night? Is this to Debbie or me? We go on till 1 in the morning. The first time we did it, it wasn't intended to be a series. This is sounding like Marooned, isn't it? The first time we did it, it was to replace our end of year party. We'd arranged the end of year party about 14 months before it happened. And we'd arranged it. So originally it was just going to be a meal on the Friday night. And then we decided to go big or go home. So we went big. So we changed it to breakfast on Saturday morning, wild party on the Saturday night, and lunch together on the Sunday. And obviously the whole lot had to be cancelled. So we took the thing online and we had no idea. I said to Mike, well, you know, we started a bit earlier. I think we moved Marooned. That caused bother. But I think we started a little bit early. So I think we started about 7 o'clock. And I said, oh, they'll have had enough by 10 o'clock. Well, 10 o'clock came and went, and 11 o'clock came and went, and midnight came and went. And obviously, we just carried on. It was about 3:30 in the morning. But we settled into a rhythm after that. When we decided we were going to carry it on, it was like, well, we'll do Marooned at 7. We'll go straight into By Request and we'll do an out at 1 in the morning. And that's what we've done ever since. And it worked nicely. When we always have, we've got this tradition, apart from the shopping tradition. Again, he was early last night, but Mike hadn't donned the frock at that point, thankfully, or he'd probably run away screaming. But he was early again. We have, wait for it, Jonathan, another worldwide lettuce shortage. No Little Gem lettuce. Luckily, Mike had outwitted them and he'd bought two last week. So hopefully that will see us through this week and get us into next week. Then what did we do? Oh, I did persuade him into his Freddy outfit, because actually last night we should have been at Gawsworth. Remember, I think we talked about it last year and we did the year before as well. It's just fantastic experience. It's an outdoor entertainment thing. It's actually a stately home in the UK. So think the kind of thing that you see in the National Trust. But the family that own it still live there And how they make enough money to keep it going is by putting on these special events. So there's things like the Shakespeare plays, there's comics that come on, there's brass band nights, and there's the ones we book for, which is the ABBA night, the Queen night, and the 80s night. And we should have been there last night with Queen. So Queen was in it as well. It was a good night. But last night we decided, with it being the 4th of July, that we were going to theme it, and it was going to be America. So we started off with Star Spangled Banner, and all the American things went all the way through. It was fantastic. Now, Jonathan, I said to Mike, tell Jonathan privately, because you'd asked for a song, and I added it to the list, and up popped the warning of it being explicit. And the reason that I didn't play it while you were on your walk, etc., was because we had two kids listening that we knew of. Kath, Carolyn and Joe had gone down to visit their other daughter. And I think one is about 10, maybe 9 or 10, and the other's about 6 or 7. So I thought, best not put that one on just at that moment. But I've got it on the list for next week, Jonathan. Right, let's have a go. Oh, Paul was out and about but enjoyed it. That's excellent, good. Which meeting is this, Jonathan? Which meeting is it? It's not one of your, this is an hour meeting that takes 5 hours, is it? Because with the bingo cards, it's going to take about 3 weeks. 5 p.m. Was that's a good time to finish, isn't it? It's better than 1 a.m., I can tell you. Oh, dear. You wondered about the Green Day one. It was only because the two kids were there. Really, literally, honestly. Although it's comical, because there's a guy, and he's in the same chat as you, Jonathan, he's in the website chat, called Tony. And he's on for like the first couple of hours, but he's an older gentleman, and he's into choral music and stuff. So, you know, we're very careful not to put like Meatloaf on at 8:30. Although yesterday I did threaten it. We've got this thing running, it's been running for a long time, which is Challenge Elaine. And they love it. They love to think that they can come up with a song that I can't get my hands on. And he came up with this Miles Davis one. And I thought, well, Miles Davis, yeah, no problem at all. And he said it was called Into the Blue or something. And I found the album, no problem at all. But there's no track on it called that. Then I'm thinking, well, maybe I've got a different version of the album. So I then have to head off to Wikipedia. So there's a whole range of places that you can go to find the information about it. This track does not exist. It's an album. It's not a track. Saw Me Blind. It was on the album. That's why we had a laugh about him having a bootleg copy, or he'd done a mixtape. So I said, well, I've got the second song he requested and the third song for his trio. So I threatened to play 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad by Meatloaf, but that wouldn't have gone down either. Too well, Jonathan. Did you contact Jonathan privately about the Green Day one?
No.
Well, I've just explained that we had two kids then, that's why, but we've got it down for later next week. Hello, baby girl.
Only because he sent two in.
What are you up to?
So we played the second one.
What are you up to? Oh, she's trying to wash my face, Daddy. I'm disappearing.
It was a Rudy Poody. It had the F word in.
It did have the F word in, yes. Unfortunately. There was another one later on, though. I think the kids had definitely gone to bed by at that point. Because the kid's mother asked for this one, and I said to Mike, this is also flagged up as be careful with it. So Mike had a listen to it, and he said, yeah, it's got the F word in it. And I said, do you think the kids are in bed? So we'll play it if the kids are in bed. And Tony's gone to bed. But Tony threatened to go to bed, didn't he? And then did you see that chat?
Yeah.
He was heading off. He said, my battery's going. And then he said, oh, no, you're playing Doris Day. I've got to listen to the end of Doris Day. We go from Green Day to Doris Day. That's a good tagline.
It is.
Everything from Doris Day to Green Day.
I prefer the other one that I've chosen for tonight's news title.
That was also a classic.
Catalan words of an adult nature or something.
Yeah, don't mess with my choo-choo.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I could do that, couldn't I?
There's a track on it called Blue and Green. I think that's the one I played, Simon. I said to him, I think you mean Blue and Green. No, I don't. What was the name of the album, Mike?
Something Blue.
Something Blue, wasn't it? But it wasn't Blue and Green. I think it was Into the Blue or something like that. But that does not exist as a track. But I got sworn blind it did. Ah, the problems I have. Do you know the worst one of those ever? The most tricky. There was two from Kath. The first one, so I'm going to tell you as much information as I had, and I had to go and find the song. It was, they gave me the title of it. It was like Yamamoto or whatever it was called. I can't pronounce it, but that one. So I did have the title, and it was by Sting. The version she wanted, because there was like 27 of them, the version she wanted was by Sting with the Saint Somebody Choir, which was a school locally round here that her nieces went to. And it was on the TV once. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Find the song, you can find one by Sting, but the one that was on the telly in 1976, really? And I found it, couldn't believe it. In fact, I went one better than that. I actually found a video of it which had her nieces on it. Oh yeah, so that was a good one. But I think the worst one, the most tricky ever, was Kath, who said it's a song. She did have the title. She said it was called, was it The Old Farmer of Cheshire?
Old Farmer of Cheshire, yeah.
And she said, the thing is, so I thought, well, I've got the title. She said, I don't know who sang it. I thought, fair enough. She said, I don't know who sang it, but I'm not actually sure it's a real song. I said, pardon. So she said, well, my dad used to sing it to me when I was sort of 4 or 5. She said, so I don't actually know if it was something he'd made up. I thought, you are joking me. So I headed off to have a look. It's not exactly the most popular song, but I did find a guy giving guitar lessons who used it as an example. Thought, that'll do. So I played it and she was like, oh my God. And it took her right back. And she said there was a couple of verses in there she'd never heard before, because obviously they were like for somebody older than 4. So her dad had taken them out. But I played that in her special show last week.
I've got a song that would fit well with next week. With transport. There's no point writing it down.
Why?
You'll find out when I tell you the punchline. It's a song that my mother sang to me and my brother.
I'm wondering where this is going, but do carry on.
And the song was... The big red bus is going down Jackson's Lane. Jackson's Lane was the name of the street that we lived on. And
I don't think that's real.
Because it's not a real song, it would mean that I would have to sing it.
But Kim assures us that you're improving with Come On You Reds.
Come On You Reds, Come On You Reds.
You see, I will tell you, he does need the lyrics on the screen, don't you?
Yes.
Thing is, they're different than burning bridges, that's why.
Oh, you've spoilt it now. I knew it off by heart.
Well, you do, kind of, but I think, like Pete, we've got this friend who's a professional singer, and he sings the Flowers of Manchester outside Old Trafford every February. And a good few years back, about 6-7 years ago, United were less appreciative, they were tone deaf, weren't they, about us being outside and doing a memorial to the players. So we're outside and Pete starts singing the song and an announcement comes over the tannoy and Pete totally loses it. And he just froze. He couldn't remember the words. And I think luckily I had him typed up, didn't I? So we managed to get him back on track, but he did totally lose it. So even though he's been singing this song for the best part of 65 years, he still has the lyrics with him. There is no shame to that, Mike. Plus the fact that, do you know the bit I get wrong? All the players. I know the names of the players, but I always get them in the wrong order. When you were singing something in gigs and I thought, I could have sworn that was Kanchelskis, but carry on.
I'm going to make up a new version for the modern team.
Please don't. Useless, and even worse. Although they did win yesterday.
Debbie S., how is your doggy with the fireworks?
Oh, but it's so sad that dogs are scared of the fireworks. We've never, fortunately...
And
we've,
Kim.
We've
how's,
never
how's
had
Kiva?
To live with that, have we?
No.
When we were researching...
You're okay with fireworks, aren't you?
Well, actually, it was before that, wasn't it? It was like, Mum had said, you can go and get a dog. And we're like, oh dear, now we need to think about, how is the dog going to be travelling back from Scotland? So we'd made...
You're waggling your tail at me.
How far is it, Mike? About 220 miles?
Something like that.
So we travelled about 220 miles. And then, of course, you had to bring the dog back, and you never know how well the dog will travel. Maya was absolutely fine. Actually wanted to drive.
I've got anything for you.
Will you settle down?
I'll give you a cuddle and take you out later.
Cuddles are fine, Father, but I can't eat it. So on the way back, he was absolutely fine. But then there's things like fireworks and other kind of stuff. The dog across the road travelled really badly, didn't he? Mm. And we were just incredibly fortunate. And she's not in the slightest bit bothered.
Nothing bothers you, does it?
One piece of advice that I think I would try if she was bothered was to play fireworks sounds on your Echo. Very low at first, and then up them bit by bit in the lead up to, over here it would be New Year's Eve and Guy Fawkes Night, which is pretty much, oh, and Diwali. Hello, you come over to me now. About two or three times a year. But I can imagine the fourth must be horrific. The dog doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Debbie's you like the Miles Davis song.
Debbie's dog was up till 1 o'clock.
Oh, poor thing. The trouble of... When you said last night you didn't really want to sedate him, it reminded me of when Mayer was very ill. He was diagnosed with arthritis and he was in a bit of a state. So that the vet gave him... What was the name of the stuff he gave him? Is it like diazepam?
Yeah.
It was some kind of horse tranquilizer, basically. So when he got fretful with the pain, I gave him some. Never again. Never, ever, ever again. It completely sent him sideways. He was walking into walls. He was walking into the doors. I got him outside because he wanted to go outside. And not to get graphic, but obviously he performed.
Ketamine. And
was it ketamine? I don't know. I don't.
Said ketamine.
It was probably to the effect of that, something like that. It was definitely a very strong tranquilizer. His legs just went from under him and he landed in it. Yeah, that was a great day. You were at work, you missed all that.
Mm.
So I said, never again. So I actually took it back to the vet and he said to me, you know, I'm going to give you a couple of the pills separate. And because these things were like 90 quid, you know, they weren't cheap. And he said, try these first. And if it doesn't agree, bring them back. I'll give you a refund. Obviously, doctors don't work like that, but vets clearly can because they were untouched, but doctors would have to throw them away. So I took them back and I said, no, that did not work well. And he always liked you to do video, didn't he? And he watched the video and he went, no, I wouldn't give him that. Look at the state of him. He was totally spaced out. His eyes were just staring. It was horrible. So I said to Mike, I'd rather carry him around than I would be giving him this. But what was weird was, after he'd had one dose of it and it didn't end well, we didn't give him any more, but I put him onto the herbal stuff. You know what I'm like with herbal homeopathy, whatever. And he was all right after that. And we had Metacam. It was about £60 a bottle, wasn't it? Well, actually, to be truthful, it was about £90 a bottle. But if you imported it, don't ask. You could get it for about £45, so about half price. We had that, but we didn't give it to him every day. He wants to take us on his walk. Oh, that's cute. We can do that, can't we?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find it.
Didn't you put it into the configuration settings? Because I'm pretty sure I did.
Probably.
Where are you off now?
I'm just making sure my chair's not on a tail as
no,
I
No, your chair's not on a tail because you stood up now. CQ Dub.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure I put that in the configuration settings because I'm sure we did it before. You need to be more organised, Mike. I was busy patting myself on the back before about how organised I've been. I'm actually ahead of myself for next Saturday. Whoa! This is weird. You know how much time I've got not going to Mass? We must keep that quiet. But I've got a sneaking suspicion the priest might not be in the best frame of mind about that. But, you know, yesterday we talked about the number of questions that I had. I had a load more after that, Mike. There was another question came to mind.
No.
You know, we'd done all of the host stuff on that, but another one came to mind. What are they doing about the basket?
I don't know.
What we normally do is there's about six people and about six baskets, and the baskets start at the back and they come forward and you put an envelope in, if you've got an envelope, or you pop money in, if you've got no envelope. But you pass the basket from person to person, and these things are older than the hills, so there's no way you could clean them. They are actually wicker. With fabric inside. In fact, it's carpet, I think. Don't ask. But I just thought, They expect you to go into Mass and not know whether the host's available, whether the wine's available, whether you're going up the middle way, you're staying where you are, whether there's a newsletter, do you need the hymn book, are they doing Eucharist, do they need readers, what about the welcomers, and now what are you supposed to do with the basket? So it's far easier just not to go. This is how they lose people. And do it online. PayPal. Oh, I wish, Simon. I've been talking about contactless for years. You could actually put it over the water on the way in. So as you reach your left hand out to the water, you could just swipe your watch. It'd be genius.
We've said contactless, haven't we?
Contactless should definitely be there. What might happen is they might... There's already a direct debit thing, but you'll love this. You'll appreciate this, Simon. Talk about two-faced and judgmental. If there are people, I'm not one of them, but there are people who, when the basket comes round, imagine it comes forward from the pew behind, and you put your money in and you pass it along to the next person, and they don't put anything in and they pass it to the one after them. And some people have been known to be highly critical of people like that, but what the person being critical doesn't know is that person has probably got a direct debit. So they don't put in the basket, but people do judge them, and you're thinking, really? You're being judgmental in a church? But they are. Nina had us in stitches with that once, do you remember? She said this particular year she decided to be organised and she set up a direct debit. So when she got to church, the basket came forward and she just passed it on to the next person. And after about 6 weeks, she realised that the people in the opposite pews were giving her the right daggers. So despite the fact she'd set a direct debit up, she started putting money in as well because she couldn't take being judged. Oh, God love them, what are they like? Idiots. Oh, Simon, that'd be fantastic. I actually don't know why they don't do, like, an envelope where you just pop the envelope in, you know, but you don't put any money in it. It's a direct debit envelope. Probably because they'd pay. But, yeah, it is so comical because you're like, you are sat there listening to preaching about not being judgmental while they're sat there being judgmental. It is, it's so funny. Exactly, you could pop a bit of paper in. People do weird things with the money, I'm telling you. I mean, I guess it's because they don't know, and you probably wouldn't know if you've never done it. But the things they do is just so funny to me. You'll get... There'll be three things will happen. Imagine that you miss Mass one week. What do you do the next week? Do you pop the money in from the week before? Now, if you've got an envelope, so say you usually put £5 in it, do you just put 10 in and be done? Well, the thing that annoys me when I'm doing the count is the two things that people do. You wouldn't know if they normally gave 5 and they put 10 in this week. You wouldn't know as you're doing the count. But you'll come to an envelope and it'll be about 3 inches thick. And you'll be thinking, what on earth's in here? And you'll open the envelope. Now, the envelopes are by number only. So there's only the accountant who would be able to marry up a name with a number. So you open up the envelope. You don't know who it is. And in it, you'll find whatever they're giving and 3 empty envelopes. And you're like, okay. So say they've put £15 in it. They'll have been on holiday for 3 weeks. Why are they giving me empty envelopes? Because do you know what? They go straight in the bin. I only need 1 envelope and then you have to write on it how much money was in it in case the Inland Revenue come round to have a look. So it's quite a process doing the count, isn't it, Mike? Mm. But you have to write the amount on it. But the other 2 envelopes I don't need at all. The other way people do it, which annoys me even more, to be honest. You'll pick up an envelope, £5 in it, take it out, you write £5 on it, put the envelope down, you pick up the next one, £5 in it, put £5 on, put the envelope on one side. When you've done, you then have to consolidate everything onto a sheet, the summary sheet. And that's the point you realise that the 57 envelopes you've just opened are all from the same person. They've actually kept all of the... Can you imagine the first count, Mike?
Mm.
Somebody will have kept the 13 envelopes that we've not used and they'll put money in each one. Oh, my God. The count will take about 3 weeks. It is a complete fiasco. You wouldn't believe how complex it can get. What a laugh. Oh, you can see where all the material for Dave Allen and Father Ted came from. Yeah, pretty much all of them from our church. You wouldn't think it was so complicated, but honestly. Oh, and then you'll get the people. I actually opened one week, Simon, and it had two buttons in it. Which was weird, because if you pop two buttons in the count, fair enough. But for the two buttons to be in an envelope with a number on the front, the accountant would know who that person was. I wouldn't, but the accountant would. So I'm looking at the thing and I thought, yeah, but best just put it in the bin. We get a lot of foreign money. So we have a huge jar, like a big sweet jar, that's absolutely full of foreign money. We have had some dollars and cents, haven't we? So basically we just
nickels
put it...
Nickels and dimes.
We just put it in this envelope and then in this bottle. And then eventually when it gets full, somebody's got to sort it out. Luckily, we've never fallen for that one, have we? And I see that's much better, Deb. Don't look round to the side. It's none of my business. Exactly, it's not. But you really do get the daggers. Because obviously, Mike and I, we've got one set of envelopes. We don't have one each. It's a household thing. So either Mike would have the envelope or I would have the envelope, but only one of you has got the envelope. And, you know, you get daggers for that. I just ignore them. I think to myself, do you know, it doesn't matter how much I put in the envelope. It's the jobs that you do. The unpaid jobs that you do. You put in the money and you're thinking somebody's got to count that. Oh, it's my turn this week. You know, if they had to pay somebody to do that, I have known it take ludicrous amounts of time. In fact, when we started it, and we started after hours, I said it would be a good demo because we needed to do it in Excel or numbers. I didn't care which way. I think in the end I had to do it in numbers. But there was a part of the process that I basically needed two sheets side by side. And you can't do that. So I ended up with, this was the old way of doing it. I did one in numbers and one in Excel. But the sheet, the job that I did to get it done is actually incredibly impressive, if I do say so myself. What everybody else has to do, you can imagine the time that this takes. You get the money, you split it into two. One is gift aidable, one is not. If it's in an envelope, it's gift aidable, generally speaking. If it's not, if it's cash, then obviously you don't know who it came from and you can't gift aid it. So it's split into two. Mike takes the non-gift aid stuff, which is just cash, and I do the gift aid, which is why I've got to write on envelopes and stuff. Now, when all of that's sorted, and you have to do it twice, you do it once with the morning collection and you're starting it about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when the second mass starts. So about 5:30, by which time we've counted the morning one, we're sitting there twiddling our thumbs, waiting for the money from the 5 o'clock mass to come in. That comes in. We count that, decant it, you know, split it down the middle, do all of that. And we're left with amounts of money in a pot. And then you've got to create this summary sheet. And people were doing it manually. So they're actually taking a pen and they are going through the envelopes and writing the amount on this summary sheet. And then at the bottom of column one, and I think there's five columns, they are totaling it manually with a calculator. The chances of it ever adding up are slim to non-existent. So when we started doing the count, the guy who was in charge said, I'll come in and I'll supervise and show you what to do. Well, he did. Oh, God, how long were we there, Mike? We must have been there hours. Literally, it must have been about 3.5 to 4 hours. At the end of it, I said to Mike, I'm exhausted, and that's not the way to do it. So I spent the week working out the way to do it to make it faster. So I automated this. So this sheet happens on my iPad. So I do put the amounts in manually on the iPad, but I don't total them up. You know, there's totals at the bottom and totals at the side and all of that. So then I said to Mike, you know, at that point, I'd got it on the iPad and I was then copying it across to this sheet. And I said, if I could get the layout right in numbers, I could just print it. How civilised is that? Well, printing from an iPad, not civilised at all. Can I just say, not civilised at all. But I did the layout And I did some practice things here and I thought, yep, that would be good. If I could hook the iPod up to their monstrosity of a printer. Their printer is literally the size of a bathroom. It is huge. It not only prints out, like, you know, 5,000 sheets a minute, it also folds them and staples them. And all I wanted was one A4 piece of paper printing out. But with an iPad in my hand, first job was getting it on the network. Second job was trying to explain to the iPad what printer it was. And it's this huge print station of a printer. You know, does it have AirPrint? You must be kidding. But I did actually manage to do it. So we printed everything out. So we never did this thing by hand. To the point, it's actually pre-signed. My signature is in numbers in the right place. And the whole thing prints out. And we said it would probably be a good demo. So if you wanted to see a demo of how I actually managed to get a finished form all set up. And oh yeah, let me know. Because we're not particularly using that at the minute, are we, Mike? But it's there and it worked. And it was a good exercise in proving that it worked or not. Ooh, you have something for counting money. If this is a counting machine, it didn't end well for us. Let's have a look at this machine. Ooh, it's not far off, is it, Mike? Is that a new one? Let me know if it's new. When did you get it? What happened was, we do have one at the church that looks like that, give or take. It's a greyish colour, but the little bits around the bottom, that looks like a little barrel. Round the bottom, those black things underneath the amounts of money pull out. So you'd think it was fabulous. Just pour the money in the top and you're good to go. Well, obviously, you can see from the price, £180. The church weren't paying that. But what happened was the bank got new ones and one of the parishioners worked in the bank and they donated it. So when we started doing the count, knowing that we were like techie, he said, I'll get the count machine out. So he left it on the desk. And fair dues, it did work pretty well, didn't it, when we used it? So it was a good thing. You know, it did count it quicker. It made a couple of mistakes, but nothing serious. This particular day, we'd put the money in it. And it must be about 2 years ago, mustn't it? We used to have round pound coins and they change them fractionally. So they've got like, is it about 12 or 13 square edges on? It didn't change them drastically to look at, but it changed them enough that all of the supermarkets who had trolleys that you needed to put a pound in needed to update the mechanism so it worked. Well, this particular day, we poured the money in. Was it a foreign coin in the end, though?
I think it was.
There was a foreign coin in it, basically. Not a button, a foreign coin in it. But it was just around the time they were thinking about changing... Well, there were two types of pound coins out there. And I had to extract the ones that weren't round because I thought the machine isn't going to like it. So I thought I'd got them all out. And I threw the money in. And it started chugging away with itself. And then in the end, it finished. So all of the money had vanished out of that tray at the top and was inside the machine. So I pulls all the things out the bottom and I does the count and I'm thinking that doesn't add up. And it was a mile off. And I mean like 80, 90 pounds off. And I'm thinking I can't have made that much of a mistake. So I goes back and I looks at it and I'm thinking I mustn't have taken one out. But it was so far out, it wasn't just like the pound slot or the 2 pound slot. Nope, no money, couldn't find it. And I thought I must have dropped it on the floor. It must be £20 notes and I've dropped it on the floor. Nope, had the whole office upside down. At which point I looked back at the counting machine and went, oh no. Went over to it, picked it up and shook it and the money was stuck inside. So I thought, well, how difficult can it be to get the money out? Because if you look at the top of that picture from Anthony, it's a huge tray. And underneath that money, there's a huge circle where it just drops into. So I thought, simples, tip it upside down. There's a safety mechanism on it. You can't do that. But I can tell you from the rattle, there probably was about £90 in there. It had jammed. So I said to Mike, oh my word, the money's stuck. He went, what? I said, the money's stuck. So we sat and we looked at it and I went, turned the computer on. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to find the manual for how you dismantle it, you know. So we found the manual. But then the problem was, we weren't at home, obviously, the money's at the church. We were in the church office, no screwdriver. So I'd got the instruction book and I could see how to dismantle it, but I didn't have a screwdriver to dismantle it with. Well, priest came out of mass, didn't he, in the worst temper I think I've ever seen him in, throwing things across the office. And I thought, oh, now he's probably not the time. So he's cursing on with himself. And I went, now probably isn't the time to tell you that the money's stuck in the count machine, is it? And he went, what? So I shook it and he went, oh, my God. I said, have you got a screwdriver? And as luck would have it, he'd actually bought a new set of screwdrivers the week before, and they're in the kitchen. So he brings them in, white as a sheet. I said, leave me to it, don't worry about it. I had to dismantle the entire machine to get this money out. We never used it again. It was actually faster not to use it. But I'm guessing that's a new one, and I'm guessing it works on the new pounds. Because if you look at the top, do they look like new pounds? I think they do. You know, you have to replace all this equipment every time they change the money or stuff gets stuck in it. Or if there's a button in it or a foreign coin. That's why we don't use it. Oh, my. Have a look here. Has anybody used the quiz feature in Camtasia? No, Jonathan, because it relies on being hosted on Camtasia Space to work. Camtasia have a service called screencast.com, and it's... Are you too young to remember FrontPage at all? FrontPage used to have amazing features, but for it to work, when you published your website, it had to be hosted on a FrontPage compliant web server, which was heckishly expensive and rarer than hen's teeth. And this is pretty much the same. You need to host it on screencast.com for the quiz to work. Now, you do get a free bit to it. Can't remember how much, though. But there is a pro option. They really want you to go pro because it's more money for them. Here you go. The free account gives you 2 gig of storage and a 2 gig monthly bandwidth. And you can store content for 12 months. But then there's two options. I think they're actually the same. One is a monthly fee of £9.65 and the other is an annual one of £96.91. That gives you 30 gig of storage and 240 gig of bandwidth. And you can add your video captions, colours, logos and store it indefinitely. We did have a look at it. I think I've put one video up there, but to me it wasn't worth it. So if you were going to do it where you only had two or three videos, you might get away with the free version. In which case it might be worth it, but I didn't want to start using something that I was then pushed to go on a pro thing when I can actually put them on YouTube and earn money instead of it costing me money to put them there. It made no sense. But that is the way that you can do the quiz thing. But it's more of a pain in the backside than anything else, to be honest. Debbie's not installed it yet. There's always time, Debbie. Teletubbies theme to someone jogging. Was it you or was it your dad? Oh dear. So Anthony once had a collector bring his bucket in for counting, poured it into the old coin collector, and half the coffee went into the machine too. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. They're a death trap, these things. They sell themselves as helping you, but 2 minutes later you're in a mess with it. You should have seen the office desk when I dismantled it. There were bits all over. He then came in and he was still in all his robes, wasn't he?
He was.
Because he was in such a mood. He'd normally take them off between the church
and the presbytery, but
he'd completely bypassed, hadn't he, the sacristy. Mm. And he flew in all his regalia. So to see somebody going off on one and throwing things all over in his regalia was hysterical. Oh my word. Oh, I had heard, Jonathan, that they had fixed an audio problem on iOS, but I didn't believe it. But I'd guess it's using a different feed, but we'll see how it works. It doesn't like HTTPS. I actually think, Mike, VLC just doesn't like you. Right, let's have a look. Oh, money weighing scales. Now, that's an idea to check the amount. Ours get weighed when they're taken to the bank, and that's how they do their calculation. We've put like a tiny little slip in with the amount on it, which I don't think affects the scales too badly. But this one guy does that, and he says he likes it when we do it because it's bang on. Well, it'd have to be bang on because, you know, the spreadsheet adds it up. Don't think the company will want to pay more. It's probably not worth it, Jonathan. It might be worth it if you were a department where you were doing SCORM compliancy, which is where you put quizzes in and the results are stored, and then, you know, you can work out how one individual employee performed. So it's more of a learning management system thing. But for average use, I don't think it's worth it. Oh, Jonathan, you bad, bad boy. Now, Anthony, I think you must have the deluxe model. It's a little door at the back you can get jammed coins out of. What mine looked like when I dismantled it was, I took all the things out the bottom, took the bottom off, then took the top off. What I was left with was like a sheet of plastic, circular, about the size of a dinner plate. There was a huge hole in the middle of it, which is where the mechanism was for turning it round. And around the edge, there were cutouts for each coin. So it obviously did the small ones first and then progressively got up to the bigger ones. But looking at it, I thought, unless they actually could sell you the plate in the future, and even then that might not work. I mean, if they bring out... We originally didn't have 20 pence coins, did we? They were introduced in about 83, 84. Even if they could sell you the plate, there wouldn't be a catch-all bucket at the bottom for the 20 pences. So you pretty much do have to replace it, and that can be quite an expense. The other thing that cause does havoc, I don't know if you have fun with it, but we certainly do. When we started, all of the notes, there's £5 notes, £10 notes, 20s, we never see any 50s. So the three notes that we had, and they were all paper-based. And then the £5 notes went to like this polymer thing. If you're not unfortunate enough to be in the UK and try to deal with these polymer notes, they're like plastic, very thin plastic, but plastic. They're supposed to be indestructible. But the thing was, when you're trying to count them, they're slippy and they're going all over the place. So whereas before you could just kind of like, I mean, you wouldn't be doing this now, but lick your finger and flip through these notes. There's no way you can do that. So I bought huge paper clips, literally like 4 inches of paper clips, put the notes in there to hold them and then count the far end. But then they changed the £10 notes and finally they're changing the 20s. So they're all what I call rubber money. They are a nightmare to count. They just fly all over the place. So Jonathan's going on his walk. Enjoy yourself, Jonathan. Ooh, question for you from Deb, Mike.
That's working.
So Jonathan's going on his walk. Enjoy yourself, Jonathan. Wait, it's working.
Yeah.
I can hear myself.
Not the original stream. Question for me.
Yes.
Do I like Foxit for editing and creating PDF? I haven't got Foxit. I have got another one.
Turn that down or put it behind the microphone.
Turning it down now.
Which one did you buy?
PDF Architect. That was on the advice of Big Kev. From
Big Kev
VA.
Uses it at work, yeah.
Yeah. Although I might actually try Foxit because it seems to be more industry standard.
I had a free version of Foxit.
I will report back and let you know, Deb.
That was Debbie. No, it was Deb. It was You're Deb. Right. There was a free version of Foxit, and I do believe... oh, that's interesting. That's changed. Can't say I like the ping.
Yeah, I did look at Foxit. I don't know why I didn't go for that one.
It was confusing. There is actually a PDF for, a version for Mac. It says download for free.
Oh, it wasn't cheap. €139. Or €179. For the advanced capabilities for enterprises.
Is this Foxit or the one you're using? Yeah, that was the trouble with it.
Phantom PDF.
I got a free version which came with my Asus laptop. It must be the standard version, but all of them now say free trial, so it doesn't look like there is a free version.
Maybe that's why I didn't buy it.
It was complicated, I thought, as to what you actually got.
Although I'm sure the one that Kev recommended is on subscription.
Don't say the S word.
The S word.
Oh, for crying out loud. I'm looking for the price now.
Of what?
Let's not go there. I'm looking for the price, and the price, the default is euros.
Yeah.
It's obviously working off where you are, but we're not in the eurozone in more ways than one. So I thought, right, well, I'll go down to UK pound. There is no UK pound. So I'm trying to go back up to GB pound, see if there's a Great British pound. No, there isn't. But in the meanwhile, I have found a dong.
You found a dong?
Let's not go there.
It's pound sterling. I knew I'd seen it.
Oh, right.
Hey, look in the peas. Between Philippine peso and pula.
You're putting me off now.
Anyway, it's 127 quid.
Oh, now I finally got there. Yeah, so that's for the standard version. Now, I know it says one-time fee, which, you know, and it's £127 for the Mac version. I mean, just one question, isn't there? Why? Why, if you're on a Mac, would you do that when you could get PDF Expert for, I think the full price is £75. But you can always get a deal. Don't buy that one in the App Store, unless it's on offer in the App Store. Let's have a look at that. Of course, you don't get the price anymore, do you? Because that's Apple hiding it from you.
I'm going to rename it, Johnny, instead of radio.mp3, which is what it's come up as. It's pretty good, VLC.
You weren't saying that last night when it crashed. It's £75 PDF Expert in the App Store. But 9 times out of 10, you can get a really good deal on that. At least half price. Sometimes even better than that. Let me see if there's one in there right now on offer. £75 is outrageous. I think I paid about £5. Why, when I'm clicking in the search, are you totally ignoring me, you stupid thing? Right, PDF Expert. See if I can get a deal on it. Oh, I've got lots of PDF stuff in here, and none of them particularly look like PDF Expert at the moment. But usually you can get that for between 40 to 60% off, but not at the moment. It'll probably be on offer after the 4th of July weekend, because everything else is on offer at the moment. Even a puppy and dog training bundle. Yeah, that would probably be useless. Lola would outwit it. They're not on offer at the moment. But it's still just under half the price of the other one. Unless that did a heck of a lot. And there's nothing on there that tells you that. It must have been Foxit Reader that was free, Mike.
Yeah, I think you're
but
right.
But is Foxit Reader available for Mac?
Johnny's waking up with us.
Ooh.
I want to wake up with you. Is this like Kath waking up with baby Jesus?
Yes, or Jeddus.
Or Jeddus.
I put that last night.
I noticed.
Oh, baby Jeddus. It was an autocorrect. We're not quite sure what our Jeddus is, but it corrected Jesus to Jeddus. So Stuart said it was, what was it? A cross between Jesus and Judas.
Yeah, it's a bit like Johnny missed the L out of walking. And got waking.
Ah, walking. Walking, not waking. You could wake up with us. You could. You're only on an iPad, laptop and desktop is PC.
Are you out walking, Johnny?
Why is it $5 more?
Looking outside, you might get a soaking. Mind you, so might I.
You might.
Take the lass out in a bit.
It's a Jed, it's a single Jedward. That's what we did actually look up Jedward, and we thought we'll play a Jedward song. Oh dear. We decided not to. Just need an Apple Watch app. I thought VLC had an Apple Watch app.
Does it?
Maybe not. Could just be me. Basically, it's an audio player on the watch, isn't it? I don't actually use my Apple Watch for anything audio. No, I think yes. Don't think there is one. You can obviously, you could listen to a podcast, but I don't think you'll listen to a live stream. Let's try audio app. What was that other thing we used to use on PC for PDFs? I'm trying to recall what it was called. Is Skim available? Although that was a bit weird.
Skim, PDF, Windows. That was one with the sidecar files, wasn't it?
It was very weird how it worked, I'll grant you.
No, it's for OS X.
Oh, right, it wasn't Skim then. Oh, hang on. Just a minute. The thing is, I'd know the name if I saw it.
And it's not been updated for nearly 3 years.
Oh, it's that long since I've been on Windows. It wasn't Nitro Reader, was it?
It's not one I recognise.
I probably used the PDF Reader from Acrobat, Adobe. But don't get me talking about Acrobat, because I loathe it.
We won't.
With a passion.
Primo PDF.
I'd probably, if I was on Windows, go with, like you're saying, PDF Architect or Foxit, one or the other. And there is a free Foxit reader. So you could start off with that and see how decent that is. PDF Expert's fantastic on macOS, but there are certain features that are still missing.
Kim, we'll tell you a story about that, although you tell it much better than I do.
What?
About talking into your watch when we were at the 6:06 dinner.
Sure, we told them at the time. It was a classic.
We probably did.
We go to this dinner every year, except this year, which is a sportsman's dinner. And the first one, there was this comic, wasn't there?
Yeah.
He was in a right mood all the way through. And as I remember saying to you, he isn't going to be very funny. Look at the face. He was like he didn't want to be there. He got up to do his gig and he was fantastic, wasn't he? He was so funny. We were just rolling in the aisles. I think his problem was he wanted to get off home early. So every year they have some kind of entertainment, usually a comic. Sometimes it'll be like, what was the one we had in Manchester when Summerby did it? He was like an Elvis impersonator. He was a singer as well. And that one we had in Stockport reminded me of Kenny, Fingers Kenny.
Yeah.
A bit of a crooner. Well, this particular year, they got this guy, Flywheel, something Flywheel.
Billy Flywheel.
Billy Flywheel.
Finding his...
It was shocking. It was the worst act.
He's like a mentalist.
He's like a mentalist, only it's not funny. It's not funny. And we were all really uncomfortable. So the following year, I couldn't believe it. They asked this guy back. So I said to Mike, based on the principle, you know, that Mike wouldn't have been as bothered as I was. I said, I'm not taking part in this at all. You know, I'm going to be sat there, but I'll take my iPad and I'll be working while he's on, because his set was like 1 hour and 10 minutes. So I thought, I'm not sitting there twiddling my thumbs doing nothing. So I said, I'll take an iPad and I'll do some work. I said, so he'll leave me alone because, you know, I'll be working. And plus the fact, if he starts on me, I can give as good as I get. So he wouldn't be doing that for more than 2 seconds. So Mike said, oh, why are we staying there? He said, I don't particularly want to watch it again. First time is bad enough. So he said, let's sneak out and we'll go back afterwards for the rest of it. So I thought, yeah, that works for me. So when we found out where we were sitting, we would normally be sat with 3 others, wouldn't we? Mm. Or 4 others. Family of 3 and a guy on his own. But the family of 3 were at a family wedding. So that left just this guy. And we said, like, we can't not tell him that we're going. But you didn't particularly want people to know that you were going. So I said to him, you know, are you watching this? And he went, oh, I hated that. I said, well, we were thinking of going in the bar. So he said, can I come with you? So he said, yeah, of course you can. So we thought, we'll wait for a suitable break and then we'll just nick out. No one will notice. This was the plan. This was our brilliant, brilliant plan. So we get out to the bar. I think we went to the toilet first, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which meant by the time we got to the bar, there was standing room only. This gig had how many people? About 200?
About 200, yeah.
I swear 180 of them were in the bar. So we sat down and we're all talking and saying how bad this act was the year before. And bad in terms of, I always think if you are an entertainer like that, particularly a comedian or a frontman for a band, you need to know how to handle people. You need to look at somebody and know if they're up for a gag or not. You know, are they up for being part of your act, to participate in it or not? And trust me, the look I gave him, the answer was no. And he just seemed to be tone deaf. He was picking on people that were incredibly uncomfortable. And that in turn, made other people feel uncomfortable. So that's why it was a bad act, as far as I was concerned. So this lad was shyer than Mike and I, so I'm not surprised he came out with us. But we're all sat in the bar. And then the problem is, when's he finished? Because there were so many of us outside. If there was only like five of us outside, you would know when he'd done, because there'd be people coming out of the room to use the facilities. But there were that many of us outside. So Mike said, I'll go and have a look. So we went down there to have a look, came back, said, no, he's not finished yet. And I said, no, he won't, you know, be going for about another 40 minutes yet. So after about another 20 minutes, he said, I'll go and have another look. So he disappeared off down there. And I'm sat there with these friends of Mike's. I don't know them that well, do I?
Yeah.
And I've got a drink in one hand. I've got my handbag in the other. And I'm just sitting there. And I could tell that my phone was ringing because my watch was buzzing. So, you know, with both hands full, I moved my watch up to my nose. I tapped it with my nose. I then tapped answer and I said, yeah. So Mike started saying, well, he's just finishing now, wrapping up. Blah, blah, blah. This guy opposite, his mouth fell on the floor. His jaw just dropped and he went, are you talking on your watch like a phone? I said, yeah. It's classic.
It's like Kim says, feels like Dick Tracy.
You do. I've only ever had to use it like that twice. That was the first time, and the second one was your mother.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. I always have my phone with me, obviously, but I was at home. So I nips off to for a bathroom break, and my watch starts buzzing, and I thought, oh, you're kidding me. And obviously, I don't get that many phone calls. You know that. I glanced at it. I thought, oh, it's Mike's mother. And at the time, Mike's dad wasn't well. So I had to answer it. And I never did tell her where I was when I answered it. But it was a crisis. So she wasn't just ringing to ask me what the time was. It was a crisis. The freezer had broken and all her frozen food was defrosting all over the place. So I had to go on a rescue mission and bring it back and put it in ours. But absolute classic. She called us macaroons. What was it? Wasn't it Alistair that said we missed a trick? What was it? Or what did he say? Macarooned at. Macarooned at MacBite's headquarters. But we'd be dreadful spelling that, so we won't. Ah. Oh, what fun we have. Was there something called Primo PDF? Can't say it rings a bell, Jonathan. But there is one. It's a PDF converter, that one. It suggests trying Nitro Pro. Now, you said you need an editor, but there's other things you might need to think about. Like, do you need to sign these files? Do you need form support? Do you need to add text to pages? Each one's just fractionally different enough to be annoying. That Nitro PDF, there's a free deal here. Get Nitro Sign free through 2020. Let's have a read of what that says. No, that's just e-signing, which is a totally different business. Why is it so complicated to find just a PDF editor that has enough features, preferably for free? Why do you have to jump through all these hoops with all these apps and none of them are like feature complete? I mean, you saw, I took it in, I take things into Acrobat to do certain things. PDF Expert's only just got form filling. Which is absolutely crazy because there's a million apps on iOS that have let you do form filling in PDFs for years. So I don't know why that's only just arrived. I could have understood it if it was creating PDF forms, but not just filling them in. It was expensive. Well, put it like this, Jonathan. It doesn't say pricing. It says plans, which is always a bad sign, I fear. But according to this, it says, is this Nitro PDF or Nitro Sign? What on earth is this app actually called? This has just got complicated. Nitro Pro. Right, Nitro Pro. I don't particularly want to download it. I want to read about it. Ah, there are free tools from them. So were you using Nitro PDF Viewer, Jonathan? That could have been the one. Nitro PDF Viewer. Which is free. No commitment or credit card. Just give them your email address. And you can create PDFs from any... Oh, you can create PDFs. You can review them by adding comments, putting feedback in, highlighting, underlining, strikeout, add text, digital signatures, comments, bookmarks, and a review pane. That's not sounding bad, actually, because it's free. Which makes me wonder what you're paying for. Although this says, which makes me think that not all of this is in the free version. It says, what can Nitro's free PDF reader do for you? And it says create PDFs, in which case that's not a reader, that's a creator. But then as you scroll down, it said included with your download of the free PDF reader is 2 weeks of free access to Nitro Pro. Which begs the question, how much is it after that? Ah, here we go. Ooh, subtle difference there. The free version lets you view, print, email and share PDF files, highlight, underline, cross out and add notes to text and pages, and print to PDF from any Microsoft Office application. But the pro version adds the ability to convert to and from, ooh, unbake the cake, Mike, PDF, Word, Excel and PowerPoint. Make scanned PDF searchable with editable OCR. Insert, edit, insert, delete, crop, replace and reorder pages. Combine multiple pages and permanently and securely redact information. And then there's an e-sign option. But nowhere does it say the actual price. Come on. Support, downgrades, upgrades, licenses. Just one button with price on would do. Just saying. No, nope, not one button with price on. So, oh, hang on. What's that there? Oh, my. Jonathan. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. £168 per user.
Per month?
No, 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 it doesn't say per month. Let's not go there. This is ridiculous, though, isn't it? That's for individuals. I mean, you're not going to get people to use it for that. So what we need is a decent PDF creator. Well, editor.
Well, there is the one that I use, which
PDF Architect. That's probably going to be the best bet.
Which I could demo on Friday night.
But then you wouldn't be demoing something that got Neil giddy, and Neil was nearly crying last week.
Well,
you said you'd finished Power BI, and he's like, "What? Oh!" He was bereft, well, Mike.
No, I've got one more.
You see, there's always one more thing.
One last thing. Yeah, Neil, that's it.
One more thing.
But there's one more thing. Yeah!
I thought you'd already demoed this. I remember doing the slide.
No.
It must have been me. So that's personal.
I might have mentioned it.
Here we go. That's scary. If you're going to put prices up in pounds, don't use a comma as a separator because it makes it look like thousands. Just saying. A separator should be a full stop. I thought that's a £3,900. No, it's not that expensive. Right, PDF Architect 7 is free, and this is for Windows.
When you say it's free, there's a lot of add-on modules that you pay for.
Yes.
So I've paid for some of the stuff.
Yes, but when it says PDF Architect is free, you think of that as being a reader, don't you? And it does say view, open and read any PDF document. But then it says you can create a PDF from Word, Excel, PowerPoint and 300 plus file formats. Now, they're not actually giving you anything with that because you can in Word, PowerPoint or Excel, you can go in and say save as PDF. But underneath it says also free, rotate, move, delete pages and merge PDFs. So that's not actually bad, is it? So what you would be getting extra for £39 a year is editing the text in the PDFs, changing the fonts and changing the text formatting, and inserting pages and hyperlinks.
That's probably what I paid for.
So I reckon you probably paid for the standard one.
Yeah.
The professional one adds the kind of review and secure signing stuff and forms.
And forms, yeah.
Bizarrely, though, if you look at the end, the pro one is OCR. Now, whether or not you need OCR depends on how you actually scan stuff in. So if you scan stuff into your computer with like an iPhone or an iPad, then there's probably not much in the way of OCR going on. But if you're using something like DevonThink, then that will automatically OCR it for you. So you wouldn't need to pay any extra for that. So it very much depends on how you're actually working it. Good night, Simon. See you soon. Eye-wateringly expensive. Oh, yes, you could say that, Jonathan. I bet you were on student rates. Loving that answer. It happened on Thursday. It was hell sent out to answer it. If only people knew is what I would say. I normally have my phone everywhere with me. But, you know, you think quick bathroom break. No one's going to ring me. Whoa, think again. Ah, dear. Good night, Debbie. I think I'd probably try Architect if I needed something on
PDF. Yeah, I pay for the Pro plan, but I only pay £31 for it.
Must have been a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would imagine you'd want the ability to create forms on Windows, but obviously I could be wrong.
That's probably why I paid for it.
Oh, actually, interestingly, there's a note there as well, which is, would be a question that you would have. So I think I see why you went for Architect. You can install it on 3 computers, which is quite generous these days, isn't it?
I probably went for Architect because I looked at the price of Foxit.
That's the trouble with Foxit. You may get away with a lower price one, but you see that, you know, they put the price up, you're like, whoa. I mean, it's a PDF editor. Also, I would say to you, in your case, you've got a Surface, and in Debbie's case, she's got, in Deb's case, she's got PC. But if you're on a Mac and you just have access to a PC, I would say you'd probably get away with a reader. And if you want to do anything clever, do it on the one that you've got on the Mac, which was a lot cheaper to start with. And it's possible to do that these days if you use your cloud storage. So what I do every week, my job every week, as the newsletter comes through in publisher format. They do actually have Affinity Publisher, and I wish I could get them onto it. But obviously, at the minute, I can't go down and do any training, and they're not really into online training. So I still have to do it in Microsoft Publisher. So once I've done, now we're sending it out via email. I need to create a PDF of it. And you can print to PDF on Windows. That works brilliantly. But in terms of doing anything with it, I would then take that through to the Mac. But the workflow actually is, I will get a ping on my watch. It's one of the three notifications I get on my email. If it's from the church, I get a notification. If it's from Mike, I get a notification. And if it's from the Scrivener beta people, I get a notification, and that's it. So I get that notification, and wherever I am, I can just open my phone or open my iPad if I'm not at my desk. I can open the email, and I'm on Gmail, so I just tap the attachment. And even though it's one that iOS doesn't understand at all, I can tap on the attachment, and one of the options is save to Google Drive. So I do. At some point within the next sort of 20 minutes, I come in and I will have saved it to Google Drive. So I can actually see it in the Mac, but I will open up Windows on my Mac, and that is also hooked up to Google Drive. So I don't even have to drag it from the Mac to Windows. I do the editing in Windows, I create the PDF in Windows, save it back to Google Drive, and then I'm back to the Mac and I'm replying to the email and I'm just attaching it straight from Google Drive. So cloud storage could actually impact the extent to which you actually need a PDF editor on Windows if you are actually on a Mac. Obviously, it won't have any impact if you are on Windows, then you need a Windows PDF editor. You know, we're looking at those prices, Mike, but shall I say how much we paid for the very first one?
Yeah.
This was back in probably...
Oh dear, look at the rain.
Oh dear, don't tell Lola.
Me and Lola are going to get wet.
This was probably about 1994, 1995, early 95. And we wanted the ability to make PDFs. And back in the day, the only way to make a PDF was with Acrobat. So we trotted out to PC World and we spent £265 on Acrobat. And then when we came back, we needed to update it on a 56K modem. And it was something stupid like, 3 meg. And it took the best part of the 10 hours to download. It was horrific. But we managed to make a PDF. And the thing was, back in the day, that was so rare for people to be able to send somebody else a PDF, a branded PDF. So I did it for my course outlines, and it had my Rose logo in the corner and Roseway Giles down the side, and then the details of the course. It was so unusual. It was like, oh, well, they're obviously a good company because they've paid to have PDFs created. But hadn't I created my own? But it cost an absolute fortune. Oh, Kim's first Adobe Photoshop cost around $700. It's criminal, isn't it? It is criminal. Is publisher still going? Unfortunately, Jonathan, it is. Although, having said that, if you got over your prejudice against it, which I had to, it's not actually bad. It's one of those apps that, you know, you think of it as church newsletters, and it pretty much is. But when you actually go into it, you turn off the stupid features. One of the features that's like criminal. Why this is there, I have no idea. By default, you go into it and the mouse pointer, when you pick up something to move it, so you pick up a picture to move it from page one to page two, the mouse pointer changed to a removals van. I'm not joking. It actually changed to a fully fledged removal van. And I'm thinking, is this for play school? It was horrible. But once you've turned that off, if you actually investigate the features, it's got PDF creation capabilities. It can do the most amazing things in terms of number of pages and booklets, because obviously the church has got it hooked up to this almighty printer. So from publisher that you think of as being the most noddy thing on the planet, it's actually hooked into a printer where she prints it and it folds it and staples it straight from publisher, which I think is actually quite good. From a creation perspective, it does have masters and it has templates, it has styles. The problem with it is I don't think those features are used to any great degree. People don't know they're there. But when it's all created, you would probably need somebody fairly savvy, professional level, to create you a template. But once you've got that, one, the printed output, you wouldn't be able to tell it from InDesign. But two, actually generating it, creating it, can actually be quite nice. It shocked me because I hated Publisher with a passion. I think it was the removal van icons that did it. I loathe those. But it is a very capable app. What I will say is, it's nothing like, so there's styles in Publisher and there's styles in Word, but they're not implementing it in the same way at all. And feature-wise, I don't think it's changed since 1995. They could make that, it is already that good, that if they got their act together, they could probably compete with InDesign. But I think people are still going to have that prejudice there, unfortunately. Oh, £700. So what did I pay for mine? I don't actually think I ever had to pay for Photoshop. Not for reasons that you're thinking, obviously. What's going on the WhatsApp here? Kim shared a file. I'm sure that... Is that the file? Where is that the file? I won that competition, if you remember. So that was a suite. It was the Macromedia suite. But then Adobe bought Macromedia and I could get the cross-grade upgrade and I got it included, but it was still horrifically expensive. Something like the upgrade alone to the suite was, I think, £695. So not short of yours. Not good. You missed the time where I explained why Roseway Giles. It was a book that I read. It was St. Teresa of Lisieux. And it was a book, I think it was called The Story of a Soul, and she'd actually written it herself, I think it was an autobiographical book, and I read it, I was probably about 15, and I just thought it was the most beautiful story, and all the way through it, she's got this thing of like subjugating herself to a greater power, if you will, and she called it The Way of the Rose, and for me, that translated to a company to be Roseway. When I went to register my company, there was already a company called Roseway. So I said, you know, back to the drawing board with that one. And my mum said, why don't you just add Giles to it? Roseway Giles. Which I've kind of made a rod for my own back because people can't read and they now call me Rosemary. But that's a whole different story. I use it as a test of intelligence. If you call me Elaine, awesome. If you call me Rosemary, I think, oh, how stupid are you? You can't read. But yeah, they do. And that's the story behind it. That was so funny last night with Choo-choo. That was brilliant. Oh, and I got another thing, Tracy, that this will make you laugh. Tony, the guy that wanted the song that was in French, which meant I had to pronounce the thing in French, which never ends well. I make myself understood in French. I have had breakfast with the French beach soccer team. We understood each other perfectly. They spoke no English. I spoke no French. We were fine. But he sent another one through. It's basically just like random letters looking at it. I'll dig it out for next week. I think it's going to... It started with a Y. So there was just the letter Y. And then there was something like a T. And I think an apostrophe and an L or something. And I'm looking at it thinking, really? That's a word? You're supposed to be able to pronounce that?
Oh, look at that.
I'll dig it out. I will dig it out. Microsoft Bob. I remember that.
Look at that.
What am I looking at?
Kiva and Kim.
Microphone. It's in the way.
Oh.
Oh, that is so cute. Oh, she's got the same colour, Lola's.
She has.
Oh, Lola's got that colour. With bling on. She's got a tag with her name on it, and it's got little diamantes all around it. You thought Roseway was an Irish middle name. Oh, Jonathan. That looks like it, Tracy. That looks like it. That's Iatil, isn't it? You see, I do remember some French. I started my high school a year late. This is my problem. So obviously, when it came to French, I'd missed an entire year. An entire year. You can't catch up with that. You can't. But I make myself understood. I can point at things and gesture brilliantly. Well, that was what it was. What was the other thing? Have you got the chat from last night from Brooklands?
Yeah.
Because that was the beginning of the song. So is there something, but I'm not sure what the something is. Oh, this could be interesting. I don't think Tony could pronounce it. He said, I'm going to put this here, but I'll leave pronouncing it to you. But that one I wasn't too bad with. Oh, I got something right in French. Just the one thing. I once had to explain, Tracy, to a French gentleman who spoke no English. And my French was like a bit rustic, shall we say. not much of it. We'd gone on holiday and we'd gone to this hotel, booked in the hotel. I did all of that. That was a miracle. And then my dad was pulling his car into this guy's garage. And he had some special wheel nuts on the car. And this French guy saw these wheel nuts, wanted to know what they were. So he's pointing at the wheel nuts and going like, you know, what's that? What's that? And I'm like, you seriously expect me to explain? I think they were self-locking wheel nuts. And I'm stood there. It's one of those moments where the world stands still. And you think, what is the French for self-locking wheel nuts? Not a clue. But the week before we went, we'd learnt a new verb, which was the verb to steal, a volley. So I thought maybe I could kind of work it from that. And I thought, ne volez pas. And I thought that's probably totally wrong. But as long as I've got not in there and steal in there, he might get it. So I said it to him and he looked and he went, ah, oui, and nodded and walked off. And I thought, oh, whoa, that's how I get by knowing the odd word and pointing a lot. My skills lie elsewhere.
Right. What do you want to know about Tony?
He put a song in and it started with Iatil. And I can't remember what the last bit was because I was too busy looking at the first bit thinking,
has he missed... post it in the chat.
Has he missed some words out? Post it in. Was that it? I thought it started with Iatil. Okay, well, there is definitely a T and an Ill in there. And the last word's love of some description.
Why don't I just go to Translate? Google Translate.
Why would you not stay with your love? Something like that. You're Italian.
What
similar.
Remains of our loves?
That's a rough translation, Mike.
That's Google Translate.
I think that's definitely Google Translate, isn't it? That's not a person translating it.
No.
I'd have thought it was more like.
I use Google Translate at work when somebody.
No, Mike, you got it wrong. That was last night's. That was last night. It's the one that he asked for next week.
Oh, right. Okay. That's further down.
This is the problem with machine translation. It's a little bit literal. And you're still left looking at it, thinking, I wonder what that means. I've had to do that with manuals, you know, where you've got a foreign manual. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I know what, like, say, 6 out of those 10 words means. But they don't go together. No, he put it towards the end as
yes,
he was leaving.
Yes, I've got it. Yeah,
we've got it. It's on its way. It there you go. Oh, that's even different. Now there's a D in there, not a T.
Right, so what's Google?
Well, surely the last word's joy.
There is joy.
Ah, no, is there any joy?
No, there is joy.
It depends. Is there a question mark at the end?
No.
I've not found that one yet. I've been too busy playing with Stuart's. Stuart sent me a list of songs from the musicals that he would like. So that's next Saturday's. So I've been too busy playing with his because 3 of them proved to be incredibly problematic. One was
hello swallows. There is joy in the sky over the roofs. There is joy and sun in the alleys. There is joy everywhere. There is joy. All day long my heart beats, capsizes and falters. It's the love that comes with I don't know what. It's love, hello, hello ladies. There is joy everywhere, there is joy. The grey baker beats the dough with full arms. He makes good bread, bread so thin that I'm hungry. We see the postman flying away there, like a blue angel carrying his letters to the good God. Unnamed miracle at the Javel station. We see the metro coming out of its tunnel. Intoxicated with sun, songs and flowers. He runs towards the wood. He runs at full steam. There is joy. The Eiffel Tower goes for a walk. Like crazy, she jumps the Seine with both feet. Then she says, too bad for me if I'm sick. I was bothering myself all along in my corner. There is joy.
I'm sorry, Mike, but if the Eiffel Tower goes for a walk, they must have been on acid. You know I'm right. Now, see, Paul's more like me. Anything from Chess. To put that in Kath's, didn't I? She picked... it wasn't Kath's. Was it Ellen? Or was it Kaz? I think it could have been Ellen's. And she wanted One Night in Bangkok. So I played Bangkok and One Night in Bangkok. But yeah, I love Chess because I love ABBA. You don't even know. Trust me, Tracy, we do. No, because you look up words and you think you've got a rough idea. See, this is how I approached my... when I did my A-levels at 18, the following year I did more. And the following year I decided I had 7 days in a week, so I might as well do 7 A-levels. So I picked 6 subjects that I quite liked, and then the last one was appreciation of the arts, which wasn't... It was more like general studies, to be honest. And one part of it, only one part of it, thankfully, was a language. And obviously French was the only language I knew any words from. So put that down. So when I got into the exam, it was a comprehension paragraph. So probably about a side of A4. So I read it through, and this is me. I'm like, okay, yeah, I've got some of those words. It's something to do with a garden and there's a car involved. And the thing was something like 10 questions, but they were multiple choice, or as I call them, multiple guess. So it was like A, B,
guess
D,
a test
C.
We used to call it.
I made a pretty pattern with the results and moved on, which explained why I finished so early, because I didn't really give, I didn't even bother reading it. There was no point. Languages are just not where my skill set lies, I'm afraid. Now, anything to do with computers and maths, and I am there. Languages. Thing was, at first year, I was actually pretty good. I was okay in first year, but we had a very different syllabus. And it just proves the point how the syllabuses can really affect your learning. The first year, we spoke it. We didn't write it. The second year, when I changed schools, they'd spent a year writing it and couldn't understand why I couldn't write a word of it. But having said that, the girl who was top in everything, including French, couldn't speak it. So at the end of that second year, we went to Paris for a week. And she went in, she said, oh, I want a cake. I said, well, go and buy a cake. So I'm stood outside and she goes in all full of herself, comes out, no cake. I said, where's the cake? And it was like the look on her face was it's the first time she realised that all of the learning she'd done and the fact that she'd got like 98% on her exam, she said, I don't know what to say. And she couldn't buy this cake. So I said, oh, for crying out loud, you know the words, go back in and do it. And she said, no. And her confidence had totally gone. So I said, oh, I'll do it myself. And I just had this French phrase book. That was me. And I was done. And I went in and I thought, I haven't got time to sit here with a French phrase book. And you know, obviously the phrases in a French phrase book, there may be like, what to do in a hairdresser's, what to do with photography. But I didn't have time to stand there and find out what to do in a cake shop. So I said to her, which one do you want? And she said, like the pink one, two rows back. So I looked at the woman and I thought, I have no idea what French for pink is, or two rows back. So I leant over and I pointed and went, combien. And she said, like 1 franc. And I said, it's a franc, give her the money. And she wrapped it up and up we went. But it really, really threw her confidence, where I thought, I can actually cope in Paris, asking where the toilets are, asking how to get to, you know, the metro station. I was absolutely fine. Couldn't read a word of it. I could read it, but not particularly write it. But she went home from that. And rather than it being a fantastic experience that kind of consolidated her understanding of French, she went back and she was a wreck. It took her about another 18 months to get any kind of confidence with it. You got along fine in Japan, counting to 5 and saying thank you. Nothing wrong with that. As long as you never need 6 of something. But this is where logic comes in. Ask for 5 and an extra one. That works. This is where brain power comes in, don't you think, Mike? Mm. In fact, what I did do, we went down to Brighton and it was a beach soccer competition, and I'd worked out that one of the team wanted a copy of the photograph that I'd taken of him. And the entire team were having a photo. They only had one photograph taken, one team shot, and I took it. It was because Eric Cantona had seen his backside with the press and he did not want a bar of them. But the year before we'd gone along, and we were there as press representing a website, and they didn't have a changing room the year before. They were getting changed, the team, underneath the stand. And we're not talking like, you know, whipping the tracky bottoms off and then we're done. We were talking they were naked. And I was stood there with a camera around my neck. And I was also stood on the top of some steps. So I had a fabulous view. And I thought, oh, my God, they're getting changed. And I took the camera from around my neck and I put it inside the press room. So they knew, you know, and then I turned sideways so I wasn't watching them. And Mike said, you could have got some shots there and the sun would have bought them. And I said, no, integrity, no way. No way would I do that. The following year, when he'd seen his backside, his illuminated backside, and he didn't want any photographs at all. He did not want to talk to the press, and that included everybody. But the team, his teammates that were playing with him, they may only have played alongside Eric Cantona once in their life, and they wanted a team photo. So he bobs his head out of this year they did have changing rooms. He bobs his head out of the gazebo that they were changing in, and he looks round and he spots me, and he said, only her. And I thought he obviously remembered from the year before where everybody else was. I mean, there were things going on there that were not good, wasn't there, Mike? People making off with souvenirs, shall we say. We'll go no further than that. And he must have remembered. So I got to take the only photo of the French team. Nervous, oh, much. And I had to try and explain at the end of that day that I would need to wait until I could get them printed out. So I needed to say in French something along the lines of, I'm waiting for the photographic laboratory to open. Well, no chance. I can't mime that. So I rang my dad. This is 2005. I rang my dad and said, Dad, get your machine on. What for? He said, I said, just do it. So I get to I tells him what I want to say in French. And I said, type this into Google. I said, and then say, how do you say that in French? At which point, my mum's reading it back to me phonetically on the mobile. So I've got this piece of paper with it written on phonetically. And I goes over at the end and I said, you know, I'll bring them round to the hotel in the morning, blah, blah, blah. Got to wait for the photographic laboratory to be open. And he went, ah, oui. And he, yes, I thought, thank God. whatever Google had kicked out was clearly understandable. Do you know, you could have that conversation now with an app that translated while you stood there.
Mm.
It's amazing, isn't it? It is amazing. Yeah. Oh, what fun. Oh, Parisians were mean when we were there. What did they do? I will admit, some of them, we went out into the countryside and they're not fond of the English out in the countryside. But my mum was desperately trying to speak some French. She was counting in French, bless her. You know, like showing willing, because it's quite arrogant if you go to a country and you don't even attempt to speak their language. And she did. And what she'd missed was, as she stood there going, deux, trois, so she's doing her absolute best to count these things out in French, he was stood there trying to impress her. And he was singing Roll Out the Barrel in English. And she'd completely missed he was speaking English. But apparently he didn't know a word of English. And this singing of Roll Out the Barrel, it was the only thing he knew in English. And I just thought it was so nice. She was trying to speak some French to show respect to him. And he was trying to sing Roll Out the Barrel, show respect to her. Oh, it was just wonderful. And there's me in the middle of the two of them trying to work out the price and say thank you for that. And oh, what a holiday that was. But you know, out in the sticks, sometimes they're not that friendly. I think it just depends. On the coast, they're used to you, and they do virtually all speak English. But my mum's French went as far as parlez-vous anglais. And when he said non, that was it. She handed it over to me. I thought, yeah, she'd ask me if I speak French. No, mind asking him if he speaks English. Oh, dear, oh, dear. You would take a map and show people where you wanted to go and count them out. That was brilliant. I remember when we went to this place in the sticks in France. It was a place called Les Yeux, and there was a huge basilica there. And I'm assuming that the word in French was basilica as it was in English. And I'm asking them where the basilica is, and they're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. So I said to mum that, you know, they don't know. When we found this basilica, how they could not have known, I do not know. I'll find you a picture of it. To say it was big was an understatement. It was like St. Paul's Cathedral. Now, how do you spell Lisieux? Oh, dear. Let's hope Google's forgiving. Oh, I spelt it right. Right, we got a photo of it. How big's that one? That's nice. So I'll get this picture. I'll get this up to Droppler. And you can imagine the size of the thing. How could you not know in a tiny village where this was? Maybe they're just trying to not be very helpful. Right, I do believe that is the link. It was beautiful, beautiful place. Absolutely the most beautiful place I think I've ever seen. There's a photo of the inside. Let's get that one up. No, I don't want a WebP photo. WebP photos annoy me. You noticed how many are WebP now, Mike?
Yeah.
You can't... When you post them up to Droppler, it doesn't get it. There we go. There's one of the inside. I just sat in there for hours. It was so beautiful. Look at that. Jane, you've never seen it, Mike.
Mm.
It's beautiful. Right, your parents bought Subway tickets and they sold them tickets for next week. Oh, genius. That is just nasty, isn't it? No, I think it depends on the people and their experience. It is gorgeous, isn't it, Kim? Oh, most beautiful place on earth. I'd actually taken my camera with me, the camera that I... It was the first time I got like a decent-ish camera. And I took a photo, there isn't one on here, from the same angle. But it was a beautiful, beautiful day. And we were actually stood very, very close to it. And if you look at the spire at the top, I'd actually kind of leant through one of the archways and taken a photo looking upwards at the spire. And because the sky was so blue, it was absolutely gorgeous. But you weren't allowed to take photos of the inside. And obviously I wouldn't have had a flash anyway. But the inside was just to die for. I mean, it really is as brightly coloured as it looks in there. It's absolutely gorgeous. And there, it's not on there, but there's actually a glass case with like a kind of statue laid down in it. It's just to die for. It's gorgeous, gorgeous. Absolutely. Would love to go back one day. Is it in the countryside? It is. It's down towards the south of France. Let's try finding it. Actually, hang on. Le Havre. Yes, we went across from Dover, which is the narrowest thing. So we landed in Calais and then we drove down. Do you know, looking at it, Mike, you'd be easier to go to Jersey and then go that way. But I will get that link. It's a hideous link. I'll shorten it. But that's where it is. It's actually a lot closer to the coast than I remember. But then we went the long way round. Because the thing in France is, I think a lot of the motorways or freeways aren't free. They're all toll things. So we were avoiding those and we were going on the old road. So it would have been quite a journey. I think we went through Rouen. I remember that. But looking at it now, I'm looking at where Jersey is and I'm thinking you could get a boat from St. Helier to Granville and whip across that way. That would be fun. Be faster. Imagine having said that, going to Jersey's a bad thing. My last trip to Jersey was best forgotten. We were on this boat and it nearly capsized. It was hideous. But never mind. Made it there, made it back in one piece. Oh, we took the hovercraft from Dover to Calais. I took hovercrafts from Portsmouth, which is just to the left. It's a... where's Dover? It's further than Brighton, isn't it? Over there. About in the towards the middle of the UK, but just above the Isle of Wight. And you can get a hovercraft from Southsea and Portsmouth to the Isle of Wight. And the thing is, the Isle of Wight is so close, you can actually see it. So the hovercraft only takes about 8 minutes. But you know, we would do that like 10 times in a holiday. And I loved the hovercraft. Absolutely loved it. The only thing I didn't get a go at, and I would have loved to have tried it, was the catamaran. They had a catamaran, just the one. So obviously there's more hovercrafts. I would have loved to try that, but we didn't get to try it. Have you seen what's now on the Isle of Wight, Mike?
No.
Amazon World Zoo. I'm presuming that's something to do with Amazon the company. The best place if you're going to the Isle of Wight, don't come off the island without seeing Black Gang Chine. It's amazing. It's a tourist attraction right down the bottom of the island. It's a little bit like a theme park, only way better than that. There's something for everybody at Black Gang Chine. It's amazing. Again, I would love to go back there as well. I think we went two or three times and absolutely loved it. And the other thing, there was a waxwork museum, but they closed that. I absolutely loved it. It wasn't your standard waxworks like the Queen and, you know, the President. It was like old stories, scary stories. One of them was about a haunting. So these things were, they really were. You know, when you're nine, you were terrified. I'll try and find some pictures for tomorrow. It was called Osborne Smith's and I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I think I went there twice as well. Took my gran the second time. And there was a skeleton playing the piano. That set Mum off. She couldn't stop giggling over the skeleton playing the piano. It sounds weird, but it was a great place to visit. Absolutely brilliant. At least an hour between Dover and Calais. That sounds about how long it takes the ferry. Thing with the ferry is hovercraft's way better. Because when you get on the hovercraft, you get off the hovercraft. But the ferry, you've got to wait until all the foot passengers have got off. And if you've taken your car, then you need to get down to the car deck. So although the trip's probably only about an hour, it probably takes about 2.5 from setting foot on the boat to getting off at the other end. Hovercraft is way better way to go. And it's nice. The hovercraft is nice. You ever been on a hovercraft?
Don't think I have.
Oh, Mike needs to be taken down there to go on a hovercraft. Is it part of France or the UK? Jersey. Jersey's part of the UK. There are four islands, the Channel Islands, as they are called. There's Jersey, which is the biggest, and probably the most well-known because Bergerac used to be set there. That's the biggest island. That's the closest to France. And there's three others. Guernsey, Alderney and Sark. Alderney is the smallest, I do believe. But Sark and Alderney have very strange laws. So a lot of companies are registered in Sark and Alderney for tax purposes. And Jersey and Guernsey, all four islands, are part of the UK, despite the fact they're incredibly close to France. They were the only part of the UK that was occupied in World War II. So the Germans did invade there. And there are lots of kind of memorials to them being liberated. There's also an underground hospital. I will tell you the story of that one day. It's a lovely place to visit. It really is a lovely, lovely place to visit. Haven't been in a while. Guernsey, there's a company that I actually deal with in Guernsey, 7 Days Shop. And again, they're there because they don't have to pay VAT. So whenever they send you anything, they send it you in packages of less than £17.50, so you don't have to pay VAT on it. So it's all weird legally rules. Jersey's probably about 30% the size of the Isle of Wight. So it's quite tiny. So is St Anne's part of France? I do think it is, isn't it? That's not ours. I don't think St Anne's is ours. Nope, not that I'm aware of. I do believe that belongs to France. I don't know the history of how come we've got four islands. I really don't know. But no, as far as I know, St Anne's isn't ours, although it's the nearest to us, which again, ridiculous. I think the crossing to Jersey from Portsmouth was about 7 hours on a boat. And it was a rough crossing, trust me. It was a very rough crossing. So bad, my mum said we're flying next time. My mum wasn't one for flying. Oh, dear, dear me. Right, OK. Are we going to head off and get something to eat, Mike?
No, I'm going to take Lola out now it's stopped raining.
Oh, has it stopped raining?
Yeah.
Oh, you need to get out while it's not raining then, don't you? Excellent. Well, we will be with you, same time, same place tomorrow. I wonder if this week is going to be the week. The week of the new IMAX. I'm still hoping. It's got to happen soon because they're on 8-week back order. Maybe this will be the week. If it's the week, it'll either be tomorrow or Tuesday, would be my best guess. So fingers crossed and we'll see what we can do about having some Apple news this week. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.